BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. And today's program, folks, is a wake-up call. A wake-up call that's being issued to pastors in particular, but to the church as a whole as well. We'll get to that topic here in just a moment. First of all, just a brief word, as we have had programming conducted here on both on Crosstalk as well as some local programming pertaining to the Sparta, Wisconsin School District with this gender identity policy. With praise to the Lord, last night the committee of the school board voted to table the matter. It is not going any further at this point in Sparta, Wisconsin. Many of you got involved with phone calls to the administrators there. Many of you got involved by attending the meeting, and many of you got involved by praying. So again, that gender identity issue for Sparta, Wisconsin has been tabled and not going any further, but it certainly puts all of us at notice how we need to be vigilant, keeping watch over what's going on in our city council meetings, in our school board meetings, in your local community. As I mentioned, today is a wake-up call to pastors. Some astounding things are taking place across our nation right now, and pastors need to have their ears perked up today. Congregation, church leaders, you need to have your ears perk up to the issue that we have to discuss today. It's our privilege to welcome back to Crosstalk Sam Rohr, the president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network. He's a former businessman, a former state legislator. He served at a Pennsylvania state representative as a rep from 1992 to 2010 with a very urgent message for today. And Sam, so good to have you with us here today on Crosstalk.
Well, Jim, it's great to be with you today.
And just before we talk about speaking on some of these matters that are so critical, just give us a word about the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network. Who are you? What are you doing?
Well, what we are is a group of pastors who are committed to the authority of Scripture and salvation by faith in Christ alone. We speak biblically and we speak constitutionally. Our purpose is to empower pastors, identify those who believe in the authority of Scripture, and encourage and teach them how to stand in the gap for truth, and to speak publicly into the public square on behalf of the authority of Scripture, and to be an advocate for pastors. We believe that the problems we face in America have not been created by those in political office. They are the symptoms and what are happening as a result of the silence of the pulpits of America. And our need is not a political fix. Our need is a biblical and spiritual fix that comes through the changed heart, through the preaching of the truth of God's word. The ordained position of the pastor is clearly ordained by God to preach the word and to preach the truth. There is no change of heart. There is no laying down of a foundation that we have in our constitutional republic. There is no defense of the gospel. There's none of those things outside laying down a foundation of biblical principles, and that comes from the word of God, and that must be led by the pastors in the pulpit. And so our emphasis is there, and I think that there is no greater time for the pulpits of America to once again flame with the preaching of righteousness, as Tocqueville said years ago, than today.
And I think, Sam, what you just mentioned, you said the pulpits once again. This is nothing new. I mean, this is something that the church has fallen away from. When we look at yesteryear and we look at many of the messages that have been proclaimed from pulpits across this nation and, yea, around the world, I think of some of the great preachers from England and so forth, the pulpit was a place where righteousness was preached, not this kumbaya, let's just all get along together.
That's exactly correct. Many of our pastors do not even know the historical aspect of what came to be in our nation. I mean, it is the truth that it was the preaching of biblical principles from the pulpits of America that laid the foundation for the concepts that we hold dear. I mean, the concepts of religious freedom, the concepts of life and liberty. and property rights and the ownership of property, all of the things that are found their way into the Constitution and from the Declaration of Independence were laid down by the pastors in the pulpit. They were the ones who preached against tyranny. They're the ones who preached for righteousness. And that is what set the stage. We've gotten very lax over the years thinking that all of that had happened could somehow continue without cultivation. But you don't cultivate the garden, weeds will grow up in it. And when the pulpits of America gone silent, I would say over the last generation or two, by and large, the weeds have grown up in the garden. The tares are there with the wheat, and they're beginning to manifest themselves.
Sam, there is a huge concern and even outrage that's going across this nation today regarding what's going on in Houston, Texas, in which the city of Houston has issued subpoenas demanding that a group of pastors actually turn over any sermons, sermon notes, whatever, copies of sermons that deal with homosexuality, gender identity, or Anise Parker, the city's first openly lesbian mayor. And those pastors that failed to comply could be held in contempt of court. This is outrageous.
This is indeed outrageous. Pastors who are listening to this program today and Christian people who are listening who go to churches that preach the word, they need to carry this word back to those pastors. And the pastors, they need to understand that whereas in the past perhaps they could say that, you know, there have been too many people crying wolf. And, well, I get upset because, well, at the end of the day, things will always balance out and so forth. The fact of the matter is that is not true. When the truth of God's word is not preached, evil will prevail. And what we are seeing and what happened in Houston with the, as you said, unbelievable, outrageous, unconstitutional subpoenaing of pastors' sermons and or communication with their congregation if they involved that court case, the bathroom bill, they called it down there, which was the source of this whole thing. The city council passed an ordinance that said that men could use women's bathrooms. And the group got together and said, this doesn't make sense. I mean, the whole thing comes out of unbelievable violations of simple matters of decency. But when it comes to matters of government, where they actually single out the pastors, and these pastors were not a part of the actual lawsuit there. They're picking out the pastors as the heads of congregations of people that took the lead in getting some names on a ballot to overturn that bill, a completely constitutional response to an ungodly or ill-founded policy. But the response is not to engage this on its merit. The response is to intimidate and to try to jump over the protections of law of the First Amendment and to demand that pastors of all things turn over their sermons for inspection. This is more of the action of the old Soviet Union days than it is of the America that we know. So there's no pastor who should be listening right now who should say, well, you're making a big deal about nothing. This is a big deal about everything, including them in their pulpit being able to stand up and preach how they feel God would lead them to preach in their pulpit.
So some have dubbed this an inquisition or a witch hunt. Is that too strong a word?
It is a witch hunt. No, I don't think that it is. I mean, if we think that the old witch hunt nomenclature that some people use of over the last generation to try to silence the church, this is in every respect a witch hunt trying to identify those within the church. I mean, no question about it. This is not making a big deal about nothing. I don't know of a time in our nation's history when an elected body, be it a city council or at any other level of government, that actually has tried to step over the wall into the jurisdiction of the church and order some kind of a providing of documentation as if somebody on the outside needs to qualify the words of the pastor from the pulpit. I mean, think about that. It's not just chilling. It's a direct attack on our Constitution.
Absolutely.
It's a direct attack on the will of God, on the Word of God. It's an attack on the institution of the church. And this must not be taken as something that just happens somewhere off there that is not going to happen somewhere else. This is a sign of what has been happening. It just now has manifested itself in Houston.
Folks, I want you to understand what is going on. The gravity of this is tremendous. It is very sincere as to what's going on here. This is not some theory that's out there. This is something that is actually taking place in Houston, Texas, where pastors have been ordered by court subpoena to turn their messages over for government inspection. Understand, folks, where this is going. We understand, Sam, that at least some of the pastors have also been ordered to hand over all communications with members of their congregation regarding this, the bathroom bill, what they call the non-discrimination law. All communications with members of the congregation.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing that the IRS and departments of government who have been ordered to turn over everything on matters of national security and who conveniently lose them, the same government, not in this case the federal government, but civil government is civil government on different levels. The concept, the order, the instruction behind those that deceive the public and destroy their documentation, the same mindset is the same thing that's trying to step into the church and say that we have the right, which they do not have the right, constitutionally or by God, to step over that line and in any way tell a pastor in the pulpit what he can think, what he can say to whom. It's as direct a violation of all of the provisions of the First Amendment than anything that I think perhaps we have ever seen, and it needs to be responded to in kind. Understand, as you're saying, what is actually happening, and it is it's the attempt to silence the truth, silence the church, and picking out pastors in this case as leaders of the church to scare them, intimidate them into shutting their mouth so that the cause of evil can go forward, and it just cannot happen.
Folks, I also want you to know that the Human Rights Campaign, an activist homosexual organization, sent out a release today with news tidbits, and here's one that they included today. Next fight, religious exemptions. Here's the paragraph. The Associated Press reports that religious and social conservatives are opening a new front in the war on marriage equality by pursuing religious exemption legislation among Republican-leaning state legislatures. These legal exemptions would allow some companies and business owners with religious objections to refuse benefits or services for same-sex spouses. When the judiciary does it, they don't do that kind of balancing that the legislatures tend to do, said Tim Schultz, president of the First Amendment Partnership, that he has organized legislative caucuses focused on religious liberty in 20 states. However, LGBT advocates counter the sentiment, expressing concern that carve-outs or exemptions for private business perpetuates divisiveness and the very discrimination the courts have sought to abolish. In other words, what we're seeing here, Sam, that all these religious carve-outs, and people sometimes, we'll have same-sex marriage as long as it's not forced upon the church, everything's okay. Now they're saying, we're going to go after those carve-outs because that's destroying this inclusiveness that we seek to have. It's still discrimination, and the church is going to be the prime one target taking place here.
Well, you are correct, and the reason they're doing that is because, see, historically and biblically, moral truth comes from the church.
Yeah.
And if the truth is silenced, there is no opposition to evil.
Folks, we're going to take a quick 60-second break, another comment or so about Houston, and then we're going to delve into another area of, great concern as we give a wake-up call to pastors today, a wake-up call to the church. This is Crosstalk. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist at ICR. Dr. Morris, are modern humans much different than humans of the past?
Actually, Chris, there are some differences, but not in any significant way. All humans, living or fossil, had certain skeletal proportions that are recognizable, including a large brain. But it's not just brain size, it's the shape of the brain, allowing for cognitive abilities and vocal abilities that set us apart from the apes. There's much difference among modern humans. For example, a giant Watusi standing next to a short pygmy is obviously different, but they're both humans. Chris, there is variety among humans, just as there is between individuals in every animal group. But variety is not evolution. There's a variety of apes and a variety of humans, but there's nothing in between an ape and a human, as evolution demands. The evidence fits creation. It's amazing how well the scientific evidence supports that back to Genesis truth.
Learn more about the science of creation at unlockgenesis.org.
Wake-up call to pastors today here on Crosstalk. Sam Rohr is with us. He's president of Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network. We'll give you some points of contact here a little bit later in the program, so be ready to jot that information down. But here, pastors in Houston, Texas, being told to turn over their sermons. The government is to inspect them. Folks, this is amazing what is going on. And keep in mind, at the same time this is going on, that there are those who are saying all these religious exemption carve-outs, we need to do away with them. And folks, that's going to impact you, your business, your pastor, your church. Pastor Sam Rohr with us here today. What is your advice to the pastors in Houston, Texas at this time?
Well, what I would say, first of all, number one, you'd better be on your knees in earnest prayer if you have not been before, because the assault, in this case, in the legal form, is occurring, number one. Number two, do not comply with their request to turn over documents. There is no authority of law, there is no authority of the Constitution, and there is no authority of biblical law, so they ought not turn it over. And number three, they ought to go into their pulpits on this coming Sunday and preach a sermon like they have never preached to the reality of what's facing America to their congregants, and prepare them for what could be coming the way of Christians in America.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's segue to another issue, and this is really the issue we brought you on the program to talk about, but it's so much related to what's just transpired in the first segment, and that is another wake-up call to pastors as it relates to the topic of Islam. And you issued a press release from your organization last week indicating that the threat of Islamic persecution is growing in the United States and that church leaders must educate their congregations. Tell us your concern.
Well, Jim, there is no question about it that perhaps the greatest evil or the greatest threat to the gospel and to religious freedom and to all of our constitutional frame of government in America today is represented by Islam, by the very nature of Islam, by the very teachings of the Quran itself, by the very actions that we're seeing emanating out of the Middle East, out of ISIS, by the actions that we have seen in this nation already with the beheading in Oklahoma City, being a Muslim convert. These things are, again, a wake-up call and should be, and as is the wake-up call to pastors in Houston. Now, Islam is many churches, I believe, and we believe, are silent on the issue because they either don't know what to say, they're afraid to say it, or they're afraid if they say something counter to what Islam is, it may harm their ability to preach the gospel to a Muslim who needs the Lord. And so the result is they don't say anything. But unfortunately, Islam is marching across America. They have been here for a long time, and they have put many entities in place in the media, on the ground in the form of sleeper cells, and a whole host of things. But when ISIS manifests itself and comes apparently out of the blue, according to our president, and automatically comes on the scene as someone who is better organized, better financed, and more dedicated than what anybody imagined they could be, and they have as their goal death to America and Western world and death to the Jew, it ought to be a wake-up call to Christians that we look at this in the light of Scripture. And so we are saying to pastors, if you try to hide and avoid a confrontation or controversial discussions on this matter, you will potentially literally lose your own head, yes, here in America. This is the greatest anti-God, anti-Christ attack by a mobilized entity with hundreds of years of history behind them that's now coming forth in our generation. We keep our eyes shut to our own heart and to our own harm, Jim.
There was an article that just appeared on WorldNet Daily yesterday, WND, in which ISIS has declared Christians their number one enemy. Do you see that as hot air or a credible threat?
No, that is a credible threat. And the reason it's a credible threat is because that statement is the statement of the Quran. We are infidels. We deserve to convert to Muslim and become their slave or to be killed. And so what? All that we're seeing in the Middle East, the purging of the Christians in Iraq and going up into the Kurds and touching on the border of Turkey as we speak, and the beheading of all of these people, including children, and turning women into sex slaves and trying to do all of these things, this is the teaching of the Quran. And so when they say they want death to Israel and they want death to Christians, see, this has been a matter of wars over hundreds and hundreds of years. It is not new. We in this generation cannot think that this is some new revelation, some new development that's just now coming up out of nowhere for which we cannot look back and find some history. This has all kinds of history behind it that is now manifesting itself in this time, in this world, and we are the focus, and they are here among us, and the church is the only entity that has the ability to speak God's truth of, and identify what is wrong with Islam, as well as, frankly, the other two entities we can talk about. I think there are three entities in this country that are really formed a coalition against Christianity, and they happen to be one of them. And so that's why we need to be talking about this.
You have said that Islam has become an unavoidable threat to America's freedoms. What are you meaning by that?
Well, the unavoidable threat, Jim, is that these comments that you said, even that one WorldNet Daily covered yesterday, that is a threat until something happens, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. 9/11 wasn't a threat. It was an action. The beheading of thousands of Christians in the Middle East is not a threat. It's an action. The beheading of this individual, of this woman in Oklahoma, it's not a threat. It's an action. And they mean what they say. And for us to sit back and say, well, it's just one or two people here or there, no, you have to back up and say, what does the belief system teach?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is the motivation? How do they reveal, how do they or any ideology relate to God, the Bible, to Jesus Christ, to morality, to decency, to the rule of law, to our Constitution? And frankly, you look and you say everything about Islam is anti all of those. And I'll also add, I mentioned a coalition I believe that's formed themselves. I think there's a coalition of the communists, Marxists, type entity that have been trying to undermine in our country and subvert our educational process for years. That's been a known fact.
Yeah.
They are in atheism. They have worked together. They also hate our God and hate Jesus Christ, mm-hmm, and hate our Constitution. And so does the organized homosexual lobby, which is what's in Houston. And what you see there, which makes these things come together, is that they all, for different reasons, have a common goal, and it is to destroy Christianity, Bible, decency, morality, the rule of law, and our constitutional frame of government. Think about it. All of them share those things in common. And I say, pastors in America, understand, and others who may be listening, maybe you're not a Christian. But if you are not a part of one of those three groups, you'd better stand up together and understand that you are, in fact, part of the enemy if you're not a part of one of those three groups. But these are what we're seeing coming forth, and they share the face of evil, and they share a fundamental opposition to Jesus Christ, the concept of redemption and sin and judgment before God. These are the things that have made America what it is. These are the things that make Christianity and the gospel what it is. These are what these things all share in common.
Pastor Sam Rohr with us today, Pennsylvania Pastors Network and American Pastors Network. You have also said that pastors need to teach their congregations about how to respond to persecution. Be more specific on that.
Well, this is the very real thing, Jim. The Bible speaks a tremendous amount about persecution. Look around the world, and we're trying to bring to light how much persecution is actually taking place. We talked about what's happening in the Middle East. You know, about 90% of those individual Christians around the world today being persecuted, losing their lives, or being harmed in some way, are at the hands of Islam. So it's very real. But persecution has not been something we in America have known. The church in America is weak because we've not had to suffer for our faith. We've been protected for all of these years because of the faithful preaching of pastors in the pulpit in the past, and because our laws and the people generally followed that biblical teaching. But as we've moved from those things, I believe that we have lost God's blessing, and we've incurred and are incurring God's judgment. And when that happens, persecution comes that way. And so we tell pastors in the pulpit, our people in America are not prepared. If we do the work of Christ, we know Christ told us you will suffer persecution. We look at that and say, well, that's for somebody in some other part of the world. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure that we're at that point anymore. Matter of fact, I think we are in the days of persecution. We can talk a bit more about that, but it's here before us now. And these things we're talking about are manifestations of it. So to not prepare the people is an act of improper shepherding by the pastor in the pulpit. To prepare them is biblical in every way.
At the same time that you're giving this wake-up call to pastors and to the church, your organization, the American Pastors Network, is also calling upon the president and upon congressional leaders to defend America, not defend Islam. And there are many Americans who believe that the president's advancement of Islam it's not out of ignorance, but is purposeful. Is that an overreaction? What's your take on this?
No, I don't think that's an overreaction at all. You can listen to somebody's words, and I was in office for 20 years. I heard that a lot. People can say anything they want to say before an election, even afterward, but follow their votes, follow their actions. So if nothing else, look at the president's actions and the actions of this current administration. They don't lift a hand to help persecuted Christians anywhere in the world, but they'll run to the aid of a Muslim terrorist in Oklahoma City who beheads a woman seeking to classify it as workplace violence rather than jihadist activity. This kind of thing happens across the country. Where is our own Justice Department in coming to the aid of those who are being persecuted for their religious beliefs? And instead, they go after those who hold to a First Amendment right. This kind of thing is happening across the corner, and what we're saying is that, in effect, the effect is that the advance of Islam and these other anti-Christ, anti-God ideologies are being furthered, are being encouraged by the actions of this administration. There is nothing that you can point to that would indicate a defense of, a support of, biblical morality or Christianity or the preaching of the gospel. Just look at the actions themselves. We say, those in Congress, President, it's time to start defending America and our constitutional freedoms, not Islam and Sharia law.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want you to be ready to jot down the website for our guest here today, but I'd also like to open the phone lines right now if you'd like to get in, ask a comment, or ask a question, make a comment on these issues today. A wake-up call to pastors, our number, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Folks, are you shouting amen? Do we need to wake up, or do you have a question about what we're talking about? Give us a call.
Do you have answers to the big questions about the Christian faith, evolution, creation, and the biblical worldview? From Answers in Genesis comes the New Answers Book, Volumes 1 through 4 set. These books have been powerful tools in equipping believers to share and defend their faith. Some of the questions answered include, why shouldn't Christians accept millions of years? What about the gap theory? Does distant starlight prove the universe is old? What about climate change? Is it man-made? 130 important questions are addressed. Each of the four volumes is at least 350 pages, providing helpful information for the top questions people are asking today. Through October 31st, BCY is offering the New Answers 4-volume set for a donation of $39. You'll learn answers about origins, carbon dating, Noah's Ark, dinosaurs, and so much more. To obtain the New Answers 4-volume set, call BCY America at 1-800-729-9829, 1-800-729-9829. This special offer ends October 31st.
A wake-up call to pastors today. Yes, a wake-up call to the church. Sam Rohr is with us today, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and American Pastors Network. And Sam, you've got a website. I know you've like a whole lot, many more pastors from not only within the state of Pennsylvania, but across the nation as well, to join forces and certainly to give that wake-up call to their congregations to be informed on these issues. Give us a point of contact for your ministry.
Jim, I'd like to do that. I'd like to encourage people to go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. They can sign up there. They can check, see what we have. But we are encouraging pastors at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. God has laid before us the establishing of chapters of pastors. They can have positions to speak within their various states. We have North Carolina Pastors Network. We have Pennsylvania Pastors Network, and talking with pastors now in six states. If you're a pastor and listening and say, you would like to be able to stand with us in a network across the country, go to that website, indicate that, and we'll get back with you. But this is the time to stand in the gap for truth. There has never been a more important time than now.
AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Just before we pick up our first call, let me feel your heart, Sam. Do you believe we're at a point of no return?
Jim, I do not believe that, but I believe that the window is closing very quickly. You and I had a little bit of a discussion off air in the last break. God sent an awakening call to America on 9/11. We can all recall probably where we were when that event happened. That was a wake-up call followed by a time of mercy for America. Will we hear? That was exactly what that was for. God allowed through the hedge of protection for the first time the enemies of the gospel to do damage on our soil. Well, we all remembered what it was. People went back to church for the first time. They were praying, and they never prayed before. It lasted an amazingly short period of time, and it seems like the slumber on the other side is more deep than it was perhaps prior to 9/11. Now we're beginning to see a number of events coming across us. We have the beheading in Oklahoma City. You've got now the Houston event with Pastor. You've got the Ebola breakout. How many more things is God going to need to level before us to wake up the church again? Now the question is, what will follow? I don't know what will follow. It certainly has given us plenty of opportunity, Jim, but I do hold this out, that God's judgment can be averted by two things only. 2 Chronicles 7:14, God's people identifying their sin of forsaking him and repenting of their sin. It's the church. It's God's people. And it's got to be led by the pulpit. And if the pulpit refuses to speak the whole counsel of God and identify the sin of the American people and where we have forsaken him, there will be no return of the church. So it's got to start there. But that's number one. And number two is Ezekiel chapter 22:30. Before God destroyed Israel, he said, I sought for a man among them to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it in judgment, but I didn't find anyone. And I thought, that's the other area. Righteous people. I don't know. Sodom and Gomorrah, Jim, had 10 people that Abraham was willing to negotiate with God to avoid the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, for 10 people, I will refuse to destroy them. I don't know, but I would think, by principle, there's a number for America. It could be that there's a 10,000. I don't know what that number is, but righteous people, God's people, standing up and saying, I will not bend to the whims of evil and to the pressures of evil. I will stand in the gap for God's word. I don't know what that is, but that could be a number. Those are the two recipes that I find in Scripture to turn the hand of God once a nation walks away from him, as we, in fact, have done and are at this point in time still doing, Jim.
Let's go to the phone lines. Again, folks, website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let's begin in the state of Missouri. Mark, you're on the air.
Being from Houston and being the pastor of the largest church in America, I'm curious if your guests can tell us if Joel Osteen or the people in his church have stood up against the mayor of Houston and said, enough, we won't tolerate this against our First Amendment God-given rights. Can you answer that question?
Unfortunately, I cannot intelligently tell you whether or not that they are a part. I know some of the folks that have been involved down there, but I cannot tell you that specific question. I cannot tell you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. Let's go next to Kansas. Barry, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Yes. Real briefly, I'd just like to share a handful of verses. This first one was shared to me in a very special way back when I got saved. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Mm-hmm. And another one is for the end times, Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, Jesus Christ is going through his list of conditions that are going to come down before the end time. And 24, verse 10 is, and many shall be offended, and many shall hate one another, and kill one another. Now, the first part of that verse is, many shall be offended. I saw that for the first time last year in a King James Bible. And that hit me like a ton of bricks, is that every time that somebody gets offended, especially when it's by the Word of God, maybe this is a biblical prophecy here.
Thank you, Barry, for your comment there. One thing that we know, Sam, and you've talked about, what can change a nation. I saw Nineveh was going to be destroyed, but Jonah went, yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be destroyed, but the people turned and repented, and we don't know if we're in such a time as that again.
Well, that's exactly correct, and Nineveh obviously was a country that was extraordinarily wicked in every way. Mm-hmm. And poor Jonah, because he knew the mercy of God, didn't even want to go there because he was afraid that actually they would repent, and they did. But it was a manifestation that that God's hand of judgment can be turned when people repent of their sin and turn back to God. Now, in this case, we had a nation that was built on biblical principles. We understand our history, at least we do. Many people do not understand our history. But nonetheless, God has blessed this nation because of those who went before and promised to follow his word. That's what our original founders did. And they knew that if we followed biblical principles, that we could count on God's blessing. But they also knew, as God told Israel, when I bless you, and I give you all of these wonderful things and make your wealth increase and your herds increase, what Deuteronomy 8 talks about. He said, I warn you, though, my people, that if you, when these times occur, if you forget that I gave it to you and you think that you got it by your own hands, at which point idolatry becomes the matter of worship, not God. As soon as you begin to worship and value the things and the stuff that I give you more than me, the one who gave them to you, at that point, I will drive you from the land. Now, that is a principle that came from God to his people, and it applies to every nation that claims to know God, which our nation clearly has. So who responds to that is God's people. The unsaved are not going to respond to the word of God in that fashion. Those who hold the key and the opportunity are God's people. Now, the question is, will God's people, when will we get serious enough about the fact of where we are to get on our knees and say, God, forgive us for our great sin before you? And at this point, it's happening in spotty locations across the country, but it's not on a ground, it's not on a wide basis. And I pray that the kinds of things we're talking about here come to the point where the Spirit of God moves in God's people and hearts of God's people, and they do what only they can do, and that is kneel down, humble themselves before God, and say, we have sinned. now we're talking things. At that point, the Lord can do what he chooses to do.
So, Barry, thank you for your call. Scripture is 100% true. That indeed will come to pass. At the same time, we recognize our responsibility in the time in which we are to be salt, to let our light shine, and to spread the gospel. So that is also true. Thank you so much for your call. Christine in Racine, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Would you not say that it is time then, in light of this is a message of the hour, that you're speaking to us, that we need to have solemn assemblies in our churches? We need to put aside these ideas. I have a good church, too, that we are these excellent sinners. We need to humble ourselves. The Second Chronicles 7:14 model, as you stated, the solemn assemblies, what other hope is there other than to gather in humility and repentance? Unashamedly gather and say what we are and where we are at.
Sam?
I think you're totally correct, and you use that word unashamedly. Do you know what? You know, one of the marks of a nation under judgment is that they have no shame. There is no shame for the sin in which they partake. If we are ashamed or feel that for some reason we are demonstrating weakness or fear by the fact that we get down on our knees as a church and pray in a solemn assembly, as you say, believe you me, we will stand ashamed before Christ if we truly know him as our Savior. The recipe that you laid down is exactly what needs to take place. There is power in prayer. There is power in the confession of sin. There is a power in repentance that comes only when God's people actually, truly feel that it's necessary. And I believe that we're getting to that point. And, so thank you for your challenge.
Thank you, Christine. Gene in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Thank you for my call. I'm thinking of what you said this morning about these pastors in Houston. Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Okay. About the pastors in Houston, that their sermons are being censored. This is something that quickened my heart because the Lord had given me something more than 40 years ago, maybe 45 years ago, that was exactly what happened in Houston, that before the Lord comes, that the people would be treated in this way. They would have to have government-supported and censored sermons even before they could speak, or they would be turned away and not permitted to do these things. And it really spoke true to my heart. I never thought that I'd live to see it happen. But that was back in the middle 60s the Lord gave this to me.
Well, we have certainly seen this in societies of the past as well, to have sermons approved. And certainly, we see this, Sam, even as Scripture says, those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This should not take us by surprise in that regard. Concern absolutely here, but there is a solution to this, and that's repentance before the Lord.
That is correct, and again, times of trial, and we don't like to think in these terms, but times of trial throughout the history of Christendom have been times of great strengthening. Now, do we wish for persecution? I don't. I don't at all. Mm-hmm. But do I know what the Bible says about it and what the result is? The answer is yes, I do. You know, I travel a lot around the world and involved with pastors around the world, and I would say that that Christianity in the third world are stronger than we are in America today.
We're going to take a quick break here. Could you come back for the final segment here on Crosstalk? Our number 800-733-9829. Pastor Sam Rohr is our guest.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewweekend.com. Let's have a biblical worldview on the issue of gambling. It's amazing how many so-called self-professing Christians have no issue with gambling or playing the lottery or betting on the horses or betting on sports. In fact, one report reveals that more money is wagered on gambling than is spent on elementary and secondary education. What does the Bible say about gambling? Well, the Bible makes it very clear that we're not to be involved in ill-gotten gains. The Bible also makes it very clear that we are not to be involved in coveting. But yet, indeed, what are you doing when you gamble? You're coveting the jackpot. Are you involved in ill-gotten gains? Yes, you're not working for it. Now, some would say, well, investing in the stock market, that's gambling. No, gambling is when you're involved in an incredible risk that has no business foundational benefit. There is no business structure. It's all risk. The Bible speaks against gambling.
You know, we really have to consider, we're hearing a warning today on the program. It's a wake-up call to pastors. Are we going to indeed wake up, or are we going to hit that snooze button for another day? This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and Sam Rohr is our guest here today. The website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Very troubling times in which we live. Let's go back to the phone lines from Ontario, Canada. We have Reg who is calling. Hi, Reg, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I think we're really living in exciting times, and I think that we're very, very near to the return of the Lord. But anyway, I have a tract that I hand out here, and it's called True Christianity and Islam. And what's the real difference? And it, I'm just going to read a couple of points because it is so well put. It says, you know, Vaseline and water are totally incompatible. The same is true of genuine biblical Christianity and true Islam. They can't be blended together, and we hope to prove it to you. And if you're not interested, you should be. And then it talks about the fact about Muhammad was the man who produced the Quran, mm-hmm. gave birth to Islam, and he was born in Mecca in 570 A.D. and was illiterate.
Sure.
But anyway, here's the point that I want to make. He says that the writings weren't organized in the Quran, and the result was a jumble of incoherent sayings, riddled with contradictions, Arabian fairy tales, and historical errors, such as presenting Mary, the mother of Jesus, as the sister of Moses.
Yeah, and Reg, I wish we've done full programs on the differences between Islam and biblical Christianity, the writings of the Quran versus the writings of the Bible, because we're so limited on time, we can't go through all of those here at this time. But I what I hear you saying, you've got a big amen to what our guest is saying today.
Big amen is right. Hmm. So, boy, keep up the good work, and I love listening to Crosstalk. And listen, we're living in exciting times. Hmm. So have a great day.
God bless you, Reg. Thanks
for
the call.
Thank you.
Reese is calling from Mobile, Alabama. You're on the air.
That you were having about solving the problem of Christians being persecuted abroad. And it's true, it's been going on for a while. It's more in the news now, it's more in the media now, because the media is more broad now. We have more access to the immediate things that are going on. But, I mean, when was the last time our nation came to the defense of born-again believers, true believers, mm-hmm. suffering abroad for believing in Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Pastor Sam, it appeared that it sounded as though we're not doing it now. I'm trying to find out, well, when was the last time we did? You understand my question?
Well, Reese, from my perspective on that, as a nation, historically, when we have gone to war, First World War, Second World War, we were really embarking on a moral cause, and all of those who lived during that time understood that. I mean, it was the Jews who were being killed and the Christians being killed by the Nazis and all of that. Actually, since that point in time, there have been only very sporadic issues, I think cases where perhaps we have. But here, in the last years, there are probably, I mean, I don't know what the number is. I've heard different thoughts of it, but more people losing their lives for their faith, being martyred in these last period of years than in all of the time before. And right now, as we speak, there's next to nothing that's being done to come to the aid of those who are losing their lives at the hands of Islam. So yeah, we haven't done that for, you know, we're not doing that now, and that's unfortunate for sure.
Yeah, if you, and when we talk with ministries like Open Doors, that ministers to the persecuted church, or Voice of the Martyrs, we find just an echoing of what Sam just said, that indeed the intense and the amount of persecution today is far exceeding that which has happened in the past. It's not just that there's more news media available to us today. Indeed, the incidents are far greater today than ever before, and certainly a matter of grave concern and a time for the church to wake up to this very matter. We have Clarence calling from Milwaukee. Hi, Clarence. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing today? I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I certainly am enjoying the program. But I was calling, and I just want to ask a question to make a statement concerning. I know you use scripture reference 2 Chronicles 7:14, where this quoted: "If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, God says, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive the sins, and I will heal the land." But my question is this: is that really applicable for the time that we live in now? Seeing, I think that everybody would agree that we're living in the last days. These are definitely the end times. And the things that are manifesting, persecution, the sodomy, all of these different lifestyle practices that's being manifested now, those things that have been done in the dark for years coming unto the light. And a lot of times I hear people saying that they're praying against that for God to heal the land. My question is that scripture really applicable right now because of the day of salvation has come?
Okay, and tell you what, we're down to 60 seconds. Let me just quickly say this, and Sam will respond. Yes, that verse was written directly to Israel, but there are certain, we see that all the principles of that verse reiterated in the New Testament as well to the church, that we do need to turn from our wicked ways. We do need to seek his face. We do need to humble ourselves. All of those are principles that are there, and that is always right for us to do right, always right for us to abide by those principles. Sam, your response.
I respond to totally exactly the same as what you just said, Jim. That's a biblical principle that applies to nations. That's a national promise. And if you read the chapter 6 before, Solomon prayed 7 prayers. If you go to our website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, I wrote on those 7 prayers that Solomon prayed, where he prayed if his people were to walk off in sin. I won't go into that detail. Go and read it for yourself there now. But 7:14 was a response to those prayers by King Solomon. And he said to those things, if my people do these things and you sin, but if they come back to me when I've been warning them, once I warn you, if my people come back, then I will hear. And that's the question I think applies to us today. Will God's people in America hear?
Thank you, Clarence. We're out of time. Apologies to other callers who have been holding. Sam Rohr with us here today from Pennsylvania Pastors Network, American Pastors Network. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Sam, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome, Jim.
And stay on the line for a moment if you would, folks. That's the question today. You've heard the wake-up call. Are you listening?
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.